Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound we broadcast as loud as possible.
That was what we call in radio lingo audio gold.
Bring it on, baby!
Is it true that you're going to end up in a mental institution? Cuckoo's Nest! Cuckoo's Nest!
Counting up the top 500 songs in independent and unsigned music.
Doggone it, it's degrading, it's undignified.
It's not dirty.
But it's not clean either.
This is the Indy 500 Show.
I know what this is missing. Alcohol.
And now, here's your host, Jamie.
Good luck finding a DJ who can move and shake like this.
Welcome to the Indy 500 Show. I'm very happy to be back this week because we have a special episode. They're all kind of special, but today is especially special because we have our Salme Dahlstrom interview, fantastic interview with someone who... to whom I was introduced, I'm an English teacher, so let's use the proper English there, to whom I was introduced about 15 years ago, first episodes of the Indy 500 Show on Boise State University Radio, University Pulse, shout out to University Pulse, and back then found her, really liked her music, started playing her, and as we brought the show back these last few weeks, then... decided that I would get back in contact with her and that we would do an interview. So that's what we have today. I just edited the interview and it's fantastic. I'm thinking about inviting her to do a show with me. Maybe the Indy 500 Show will be a duo now because our chemistry is fantastic. You'll see that or you'll hear it if you're not on the YouTube channel. Speaking of the YouTube channel, if you're listening to us on the podcast, don't forget that we have our YouTube channel where we have our lyric videos you can listen to. And you can also go to Indy500Show.com and rate those for our Lucky 13. That'll be coming out later this month. We'll have our first Lucky 13 show, first show back as we have come back from the dead. And we are back with everything, as you'll see today. So let's get into this fantastic interview with Salme Dahlstrom. You'll hear my conversation with her, and I will play her music and also a couple songs from people that she highlights as collaborators that we got into contact with and got permission to play their songs. Also make lyric videos, so you can also hear these lyric videos on the YouTube channel. So here we go. My interview with singer, songwriter, producer, pretty lady, Salme Dahlstrom. This is Jamie from the Indy 500 Show, and I am here with Salme Dahlstrom. Thank you very much for being here. Am I saying your name right, first of all?
Perfectly.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you.
I like being perfect. It happens once in a while. Very nice.
Oh, you are perfect.
let's start off by getting into who you are.
Okay. So, I'm a musician.
Good. You're in the right spot then.
Yes.
You're on the right show.
Songwriter, producer, made a couple of indie songs that made a little bit of waves, gave me a job, and here we are.
Okay. Well, that was very succinct. Thank you for that. So what were those songs that made a little bit of waves for you?
All right. So I'm bad at math, but I'm going to say 14, 15 years ago. The whole record, like major label record thing, had fallen apart a couple of years earlier. We were all kind of sitting in our bedroom studios going, what the hell are we going to do now? I had been through that major label thing a couple of times. What they did is that they try to put you in a box, which I respect. It's how they promote you. They say you're either pop or you're country or you're this or that, and then they mold you that way and they have their channels of promoting it. But I would sit in, you know, many of those meetings where they go, oh, you can't do this, so you got to do that, or, you know, to fit the mold of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so when all of that blew up, I was mad.
Understandably.
I was a tiny bit angry. But as a producer, you know, I said to myself, why don't I use that? Why don't I, nobody's going to tell me what to do now. Right. So I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to beg, borrow, and steal from whomever and whatever genre I want, because I have this sound in my head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I'm going to, now it's up to me to, you know, record it the way I hear it and not, you know, take in all these, this feedback.
Right.
So that's what I set out to do. I had this idea in my head of, I love the big beat movement a lot. I love the big sound of it. I grew up on 80s hair metal, stadium rock. It's got a, you know, 60,000 yeah. people should be able to rock to it.
Nice.
And I felt that the big beat movement had that as well in terms of bigness, but they didn't have a lot of songs.
Mm-hmm.
They had the great hooks and all that. And I said to myself, what if we put the two together? You know, that's what I had in my head. So I set out to do that because I'm a songwriter at heart and I'm from Sweden on top of that, which is all melody, right?
Uh-huh.
You got to have hook upon hook upon hook. That's mm-hmm. what you grow up on. So that's what I wanted to do. And I did. I made an album basically in, mm-hmm. in my bedroom. I produced it in my bedroom.
Fantastic.
And, you know, played most of the instrument myself, did most of the vocals, played everything, edited, mixed it, produced it, all of the above. And, you know, there's country influences, there's punk, there's obviously a lot of big beat, and then all the hooks and the pop songs and all mixed into one.
Mm-hmm.
And I named the album The Acid Cowgirl Audio Trade because that makes a lot of sense. Yeah?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
No, but I felt like, first of all, like, you know, this is like acid pop stuff, right? And mm-hmm. the audio trade is like, we're in the mid, I'm just borrowing from wherever and, you know, mm-hmm. all of that. So that's where that name came from. It was also very catchy.
Yes. It's fantastic.
So I had this album and, you know, I didn't really know what to do with it. Right. Cause usually in the past I'd have my managers and lawyers take it to the, you know, labels and then we'd get a deal and they would fall through and, you know, you did go through that cycle of it. Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. So I was really just sitting there when this guy called me and he says he's a licensing agent. And I said, what?
What is that?
I said, excuse me. and he explains like that he, you know, licenses songs for TV commercials and movies and TVs and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's a thing. Because at that point, Madonna did the Pepsi commercial, right? Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson did the Pepsi commercial.
Right.
But other than that, I hadn't heard of anybody in my position getting a shot at it.
Someone that wasn't hugely famous already.
Yeah, exactly. Like that was a major label thing sort of, but you know, as we now know, this was the beginning of like the indie music licensing thing. Cause I think technically things had gotten good enough where you could make a record in your bedroom
mm-hmm.
And it sounded good enough, or it sounded, you know, the quality right. was good enough that suddenly these avenues were open.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he said, you know, this guy, the licensing agent said, well, you got really catchy tunes. I think I can place them, you know, and we can make money. I was like, I like that.
That sounds good.
That sounds good. Let's do that. And, you know, that was sort of the beginning where it turned out that the album I had made was really good for licensing, and especially mm-hmm. TV commercials, where, you know, it had, you know, unbeknownst when I made it, obviously the right mix of, you know, spunky and fun and mm-hmm. rocking and enough attitude, but, you know, whatever the mix was, that anything small and cute with, you know, little sassiness from makeup to small cars, you know,
mm-hmm.
to shampoo was the perfect soundtrack for it. And so it got licensed, especially one song called Camaño, was the one that got picked up the most and had the really big worldwide TV commercials. Mm-hmm.
We've been on a 15-year hiatus here at the Indy 500 show.
Where were you, Jamie?
Because of life. I'm actually in the process of writing my memoir, so I will send you a copy. Okay. But to tell you exactly, I now live in Brazil. I am an English teacher in Brazil, married to a wonderful Brazilian woman. Over the years, you know, a lot of stuff has happened, and I just, you know, got back. I had the itch. Over the last probably 5 years, 5 to 8 years, I've gotten the itch over and over. I've started talking to people again from back before when I started the podcast at Boise State University. And this time I decided, you know, I've gotten to the point in our city where I've established myself as I've established my name as an English teacher. So I'm able to take less work and charge more. And so now I have a little bit more time and we're back. So that being said, all of that is to preface the fact that three songs that I played about 15 years ago on the Indy 500 show were Come On Y'all, Hello California, and Superstar Car Crash. So what I'd like to do is if we could go through, we've talked a little bit already about Come On Y'all, but tell me a little bit about the specific process, if you could, if it's pure inspiration, then, you know, that's fine too. But what was going through your mind when you were writing it? Tell me about that whole creative process.
Okay. So, leaning a little bit into what we're going to talk about, Superstar Car Crash later, there was interest from Australia to put out an album with me because of Superstar Car Crash having been on their Big Brother TV show.
Ah.
We'll talk about that later.
Nice.
And me and my manager, we looked at the songs I had and said, oh, sure, we could put 10 of these together on an album. And I said, I'm not feeling that. I want a couple of new songs that's really going to make this the album that I want it to be. And in the case of Come On Y'all, I did what Prince told Gwen Stefani to do. I sat down and said, I need a hit song. So I took inspiration from two of my favorite breakbeat songs, Start the Commotion by Wise Guys and Fatboy Slim, Rockefeller Skank. Mm. And, not stealing anything from either one. Don't sue me.
Yeah, that's the difference. Inspiration and copying is that.
Yeah, just drawing on the inspiration of saying what made these songs great.
Right.
I sat down and I wrote the hook for Come On Y'all, and I knew that I had something that was great. And I wanted to do something a little different, not the usual song setup of, you know, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, like that. I wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. So I started with the chorus, then there's only one verse, then it goes into something else, and then there's a completely different section that only happens the second half of the song, sort of a thing. So I had that. I wasn't in love with how I sang the chorus. And so again, looking at what Fatboy Slim had done, which he doesn't really sing himself, he uses other singers. I was like, I'm going to use somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. I need a good big R&B voice here. So I call up my friend Cole Williams, a fabulous, fabulous R&B singer. And she recorded the chorus for me. So that's Cole's voice mainly on the chorus, and put it together like a ham and cheese sandwich. And I have to say it became the hit that I heard in my head.
Mm-hmm. It's gotta be nice when that comes together, when it comes out and the final product is how you imagined it.
Yes, absolutely.
Ooh, la la. Sing ooh la 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 la, come on y'all. Ooh la la, sing ooh la 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 la, come on y'all. Ooh la 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 la, come on y'all. Ooh.
And you can hear Cole's influence there. Let's listen to a little bit of Cole. What do you say?
All right, let's do this.
Here is Cole's song, Believe. So that was Come On Y'all then the first one that really went into that whole more commercialized area. When I was doing research, I saw one of the
one of the videos that's up is notes that it was for the Suave commercial, for example.
Yes. I think Suave was the first commercial that, it wasn't the first commercial that I got. Mm-hmm. And I'm really trying to rack my brain to remember what it was, but I don't.
It was a couple years ago. We'll forgive you for that.
And, but, you know, pretty much right off the bat, I started getting licenses, you know, for certain TV shows and stuff like that. And in the end, every song off of the Acid Cowgirl audio trade got, you know, significant licensing, mm-hmm. which was a big deal at mm-hmm. the time. At
least. Definitely.
But big success-wise, it was, I'd say, Come On Y'all getting picked up by Suave, and then CoverGirl, and then Kellogg's did the Special K, which went worldwide for years. And what that did was it gave me a job. Mm-hmm. You know, it opened the door to actually getting calls instead of making them all the time. And, you know, ad agencies would reach out and say, we love your sound, but you don't have exactly the song we need. Would you mind, you know, doing something for us? So while maintaining a career as an artist, I also, you know, was now given the opportunity to work, you know, making music for commercials at that time.
How long has that continued to today? How long did that continue during that time?
It's still ongoing.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that. That's amazing because, you know, indie has the idea that I have personally about indie music is that most indie artists have to do it only for the love, you know, only as a side thing. They have to work as a waiter. They have to work as, you know, they work in some other thing, and then they do this other thing on the side. So if you've been able to make that work all this time, then congratulations to you. That's fantastic.
It's been an amazing ride and, you know, a blessing to have work.
Right.
You know, have more work than I can actually take on at times. So, mm-hmm. And I've made records, continue to make albums and, you know, different projects and stuff like that. So, it's fun.
So what would your advice be to someone today, an indie artist today that, is independently minded, which, you know, today now, like you say, that back then, that was the beginning of indie artists being able to make their own quality music, where today we look at this beautiful studio behind you and, you know, more and more artists are able to create their home studios. We're able to do podcasts like this with great sound, you know, over Zoom now. And so it's completely changed the way that the music industry, especially for smaller artists, for people that don't want that control, that want to be able, like you, to break the chains of the big labels and be able to do what they want and not be told what they are, but be able to creatively get to the point that they are. What kind of advice would you give to someone starting out that would like to do something like that, would like to be able to have their own art and then also possibly get into licensing?
I would say write a hit song.
I would imagine that would help a lot.
Great advice. No, joking aside, yes, always strive to write great songs. And as a side note, Prince once said, actually to Gwen Stefani, this is a story I've heard, don't just write a song, write a hit song. Like when you sit down to write, try to knock out that great song, because it takes about the same amount of time,
right?
But you'll have a different life,
yeah,
if you write a hit song,
especially if you do it enough.
Exactly. If you're an indie artist, I would say, first of all, be true to yourself. I mean, don't try to fit into anything. You have to do what you love, because otherwise you're probably not going to have success at it, you know. Mm. Looking at other artists or looking, going, hey, these songs are in commercials, I should write songs like that, even though it's maybe not exactly what I want to do. Don't do that.
Great.
Do what you love. Make it as great as you can. Mm-hmm. If you want a career, also creating music, whether it's for a soundtrack or, you know, for a movie or maybe a TV commercial or something like that. The best thing you can do is learn the craft of actually producing songs and mixing them and mastering them so that they sound like quality records. Mm-hmm. If you do all that, then you're able to go after those jobs. Because one of the things that I discovered was that as big as ad agencies are, or TV, whatever, especially ad agencies, there can be a very short deadline. You know, I've gotten calls where they said, you have 3 hours. Can you, can you turn something around? And then you sit there and you have to be, you can't book a studio or, you know, call in other people necessarily. Right. So you have 3 hours to do it. And if you can do it yourself and, you know, from start to finish product, then you have a shot at those jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's not always 3 hours, obviously.
Right. Right.
Sometimes you have more time, but you have to be able to put it together.
Right. And if you get that reputation as someone who is available, you know, at the snap of the fingers, then, you know, that I would imagine that opens up many more doors to work that normally you wouldn't see.
Absolutely.
So let's go into Superstar Car Crash then. That's interesting. That Big Brother Australia then.
Yes. Okay. So this was in the MySpace days.
Uh huh. I remember.
Yeah.
That may have been where I found you. That's probably where I found you back in the day. Okay.
And we still look good. I mean, we look younger now than we did then.
Yeah. I mean.
Anyway. Yeah. No. But so suddenly on MySpace, I start getting a lot of. You know, people, friends from Australia. And it's a little weird. I have no idea why. And they're all like, yeah, I love your song. And like this and that. And I'm like, what is going on? So then one of these, you know, lovely people from down under, they explain it to me that your song was just on Big Brother Australia. It's big over there too. And they did a music video for Superstar Car Crash. I was like, wow. Okay. So eventually somebody sends me a copy of the video and it's hilarious. It's really fun. And I believe it's still on YouTube if anybody wants to have a look.
Nice.
I look at it, I'm watching it and I'm like, there's guys and girls. There's like a boys and girls in the video, whatever group they were. Right. But it's the guy lip syncing the lead. Billy was his name. I'm like, what is going on here? Why the choice? Anyway, so it happens that I connect with Billy. And I'm like, yo, what's up, Billy? What is up with you lip syncing this? And he's like, well, we thought you were a guy singing. You know, so I'm like, okay. Thank you. Yeah. That's the story I have.
Not the biggest compliment I'm sure you've ever received, but...
Well, I do have a low voice. Oh, you know, right. I have this husky and I have to say, it's not the first or last time that has happened, nor the first or last time I have been mistaken for a drag queen, which I take as a huge compliment.
I'm sure if they see you though, then there's no confusion.
Oh no, there's rumors that, you know, behind all this, I'm really a man.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Okay. Yeah. It's all good.
To fly, I couldn't get much higher. It's all about the rocket.
And Hello California. I think actually Hello California may have been at the time my favorite of the songs that you had in your repertoire.
Thank you. Okay. Well, it's Friends, the TV show ended. And for all you young people out there, just Google it.
Yeah,
Google it.
Is that crazy or what? I can't even imagine growing up and watching Friends, or even being an adult and watching Friends.
Yes. But Friends ended and Joey got this spinoff,
right?
Where he goes to Hollywood to become an actor and blah, blah, blah. And my management company at the time, they called me. My manager called me and said, they need a theme song. Do you want to submit a song? And I said, of course I do. So I wrote Hello California, originally from a guy's point of view, from Joey's point of view, you know, so that's why he's roaming the streets of New York and, you know, and he heads out there.
Huh.
And in the chorus, there is the line, how you doing? Which we all know that Joey said more often than not. Of course, it didn't end up being picked for it, but I liked the song and, you know, I said, you know, I'm not going to throw this one away. I'm just going to tweak it so it works for me. And then I also added a little bit of the Beach Boys stuff to it with harmonies and stuff. And that really came about after.
And I, you know, I didn't even know any of that kind of thing, but that may have been what caught me because my dad put me into the Beach Boys. The first concert I ever went to was the Beach Boys at the Puyallup County Fair, Puyallup Fair in near Seattle, Washington, where I'm from. And, you know, that's my first love probably were the Beach Boys. And so that may be what drew me to Hello California.
Wow.
Those strong harmonies, the melody, everything that they put together. Brian Wilson is a genius, which is why he's always been so troubled. But
yes, he is a genius. And that must have been a fantastic show.
Oh, it was. I still remember it. I must have been 10, 11, somewhere in there. And I still remember to this day. It definitely marked my musical journey over my life. It's something, nice. One of those things you just don't forget.
I love the Beach Boys. I really, the craft, like you said, he's a genius, right?
Yeah. So. And you look at the influence they had on so many acts at the time and acts since then. I think it was Bare Naked Ladies. One time I saw an interview with them and talked about how specifically Brian Wilson and his music had you know, I think they have a song called Brian Wilson, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
They went that far.
They went that far. Yeah, that's how much.
I haven't done that yet, but I mean, he influences artists to this day.
Right.
Influenced me, and I'm sure that's just going to keep going because it's so timeless.
So did you have any, what's your next project coming up? Do you have anything on tap?
Well, it's not that close, but I'm working on stuff. I'm working on two things. I'm going to make another solo album. It's been a couple of years. And I think I finally figured out it's up here in my head. I know what it's going to sound like, and I know what I want to say and how I want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't started recording it, but I just recently got to the point where I'm like, okay, I think I know. It's been a couple of years of, first of just like get resting from doing the last one, which I think was 3 years ago or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I want to make something new. You know, I don't want to just go and make version 2.0 of whatever I did in the past,
right.
But that requires some experimenting, some trying some stuff. And, you know, I would lie awake at night and be like, I wonder what it would sound like if you took T-Rex and you mixed it with Daft Punk, you know, and then I can't sleep. And then I think about it and then I try it out. And some of it works and some of it doesn't. Right. But right. That's part of my process.
Yeah.
And for the past 6 months, I've just, you know, been diving into a lot of art, anything like poetry, movies, old movies.
Nice.
You know, I watch Marlene Dietrich movies and I go, that's the swagger I want, you know. Nice. Can I wear a top hat? Yes, only you can, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Kind of get into character, you know.
Yeah.
Before I even start writing, sort of. So it comes from there. And I think I have a pretty good idea in my head of, like I said, what I want to say and how I want to say it.
And if you're not if you're not risking, you're not growing. So, you know, in order to take that next step, there's got to be that possibility of falling flat on your face. if that possibility isn't there, then you're not risking enough.
Absolutely true. And I would bore myself to death, I think, if I made something that sounded, you know, the same.
Yeah, just keep doing the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's another album I'm making with a very good friend of mine. The project is called Kelly and Saint.
Mm.
Kelly's my friend and I'm the saint.
Ah, of course. I was not going to guess that you were the saint of the two. I wasn't, but I'm glad that you clarified that.
It's very tongue in cheek. Yes, it is.
I figured.
I may look innocent. Anyway, it's Kelly's a very, very good friend of mine. She's a fabulous singer-songwriter. We've known each other for about 15 years, I'd say. We played the same venues, you know, in New York you know, love each other's work. She is a singer-songwriter, like, to the core, right? Very different from what I do. Sound wise. So we always talked about doing something together, but what is it going to be when I'm over here doing like techno romps and she's over here breaking her heart, right? And so we wrote a couple of songs for other artists. That's how it started. And then I had this idea of taking I love some 60s influences, like the French 60s pop movement, the Yeah Yeah movement. But it has no place in my solo stuff, really. Mm-hmm. But I love listening to it, and I love the swagger of it, and the feel of it, and the glamour of it. And that's all Kelly. Like, she would fit perfectly with that. And I said, maybe we could take that, and then we take some not so heavy electronic stuff that I do sound-wise, and I put it together. So we got together and we wrote a couple of songs and recorded some stuff and fell in love with it. You know, it's all, you know, I tend to say, you know, we look like Brigitte Bardot and we act like Mick Jagger. that's sort of what it sounds like, you know? So, yeah.
Nice.
We're a couple of songs into recording. Unfortunately, the whole COVID situation made it really hard to do something. Yeah. I read about all these acts who were like, yeah, we were so creative. We made a double album and we made a video. I'm like, yeah, that's not us. and Kelly's down in Texas now. So it you know, we were kind of held up by that, but we're getting going again and we're super excited about it. And so look out.
Yes. No, that sounds fantastic. I can't wait to hear some of that. That
nice.
Yeah. Little sugar and spice sounds very, very nice. So,
and it rhymes.
And it does. Yes. I believe it or not, I am not a songwriter, but you know,
I was going to ask.
Yeah. I knew you were. That's, I could tell that it was going to go in that direction. So
you're like, no.
I actually always wanted to be, but you know, I've always also wanted to be a professional baseball player, and that didn't happen either. So, you know, lots of stuff. And while we're at it, let's take a listen to one of Kelly's songs. This is her song, How Bad Is Bad?
Each time you're near.
Thank you very much, Salome, for sitting down to chat with us. Anything
thank you for
you'd
having
me. Yeah, anything you'd like to leave the Indy 500 show listeners?
Please like me. Please like me. No. Please listen to my music. Please buy it. So that I can continue living in the lifestyle that I've grown accustomed to.
There you go. No. Let's see what we can do to help that happen.
Right. No, thank you for having me, Jamie. I really appreciate it. Stick around. There's more music to come.
Nice. Fantastic. So there you have it. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. Don't forget, our next show will be our Lucky 13 show. If you would like to rate the songs that are eligible for the Lucky 13 and check those out, listen to them and rate them, you can find them at indie500show.com, indie500show.com. If you would like to get in contact with me, you can send me a message at indie500show@gmail.com, especially if you are in a band or if you follow a band and they are independent or unsigned and you would really like us to play them. Then send us a message. We get in contact with said band and then I get their permission to play them on the show. Thanks again for being with us one more week. Don't forget to listen next time for the best music you've never heard. Until then, have a great week.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.